Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 570, Z Updates, recorded live on February 9th, 2017. Hello everyone, welcome to Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And after getting bumped from a Expert Zone stream that had 343 employees on it on Tuesday, we're back in the hot seat for episode 570. We are 30 episodes away from episode 600. Woo-hoo. That's crazy. I remember when I first picked up the podcast, 200 was a big deal. And we've almost tripled that.
Almost. It's amazing what a little time and patience will do.
Or a lot of time. And a lot of patience. and a big hole in my wallet from traveling to conventions and all the money I've spent on merch. Anyways. 30 episodes away from 600. That's ridiculous. But awesome at the same time.
And Laird's already calling dibs on 600.
But it's a lot of news packed into this past week and a half. Almost we had a lot of stuff coming out from Cannon Fodder's community updates, some little trailers that we have, some more videos, other news announcements and whatnot. So we're just gonna run through the whole gambit of what we've been given throughout the Waypoint updates and news recently. So we're gonna rewind a little bit back to Wednesday of last week, the day after we recorded the last podcast, when Grim Brother One released his latest cannon fodder. And I don't think he's released one since then, but he talks a little bit about the intel or the logs. They're called Phoenix logs in Halo Wars 2 that we're going to get in Halo Wars 2. And for those that have played Halo Wars 1, which I know, GT, you've been doing that, and I think you've been streaming that a little bit, right?
Not the original Halo Wars. I did stream some Halo Wars 2. But.
Okay. Anyways, we have, instead of the black boxes, we have Phoenix logs. And if you watched our Campaign Mission 1 video that we uploaded after the little press preview we did, you will see that there were little blue orbs that were the Phoenix logs. And those are little side missions that you can do while you're doing the campaign. Similarly to Halo Wars, and then kind of some of the first-person shooter ones as far as Halo 5 and Halo 4, where you can go in and watch the terminals or listen to the little data pads. There's a log section in the campaign menu where you can go and look and listen to all the logs that you have collected. So very similar to the data pads in Halo 5 and the black boxes that were in Halo Wars, the original game, but in Halo Wars 2, there's going to be more than just one log per mission, as there was, I think, just one black box per mission in the first game.
Yeah, from the looks of the last stream, there looks like there's going to be several logs per mission.
I know from the first one, or at least the first campaign mission, when I played through it, there were six. So there's going to be a lot.
There'll be a lot of extended story.
Which I like. Which I know quite a few people who will like that a lot.
Yeah, the way the story is looking for Halo Wars 2, it looks like it's going to be a really good and really in-depth story. So I'm really looking forward to diving into it, find out what the Spirit's been up to and what's been going on in the last 28 years and what's going on now and how this is supposed to tie into Halo 6, which ought to be really interesting. The biggest thing I'm interested in is in the official trailer that they put out is the appearance of a halo ring in the window of the Spirit of Fire. Now, there has been a lot of debate on what halo ring this is. Personally, I'm thinking it's another replacement for Installation 04, but there are some other possibilities. The biggest thing I think I'm looking forward to as far as the logs is just to see the little side stories. I really enjoyed the timeline from the original Halo Wars. There was a lot of information in there. It would be nice if it had some type of audio log to go along with those. I meant in the original Halo Wars. So it's going to be really interesting.
I think as far as everything that we saw in the original Halo Wars, it was all text, right? I don't remember. It's been a while, but it was mostly text, right?
The original Halo Wars was all text.
So that's what they're keeping with, at least from the logs that I saw during the press build and what they've kind of shown in the cannon fodder. That's what it's going to be for Halo Wars 2. But I agree with you. It would be nice to have maybe some kind of, maybe someone reading the log out in the background while you read it. I think that'd be kind of cool. Are you talking about having them separate?
Well, no, having a written log and having somebody read it, that's fine. But have the person that is writing the log read it. Like if it's a log Captain Cutter did, have Captain Cutter read it. Or if it's one of Anders' logs, have Anders read it. I don't know what the format of the logs are. If they're logs from the Spirit of Fire, or if they're just kind of encompassing the universe logs, things like that. I'm looking forward to seeing those.
I think they're going to be more related to the team that Isabella came with, all the stuff that happened on the Ark while they were there. Kind of how we had it in Halo 5, where it was a lot more historical. And I know there were a few that were kind of in line with the current time frame, but a lot of it was older, prior information, at least on the St. Helios ones.
Well, I know in the original Halo Wars, a lot of it was filler material between the existing games. It spanned the entire Halo universe, and it filled in a lot of gaps between games and things like that, and also told you about what happened with the Spirit of Fire, as far as why it's there and things like that. So that was always a good thing. So I kind of hope they do that same thing with these, is they don't just limit it to this time frame, this place. Give us little tidbits of information. It's a perfect place to tease us for the next Halo game.
I mean, yeah. It puts it, 7 months after the events of Halo 5? And there's from the latest gameplay, or from the latest announced trailer or launch trailer, there's a Halo that's been made possibly for a third time. So it's kind of coming full circle, no pun intended, to being tied in directly with the first person shooter games. So this is the question that I was asking Dan Ayoub and everyone else, was like, so tie into Halo 6, is Isabella going to be affected by Cortana, or how does this play into the storyline out of Halo 5?
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting, because the created thing is going full force now. The Infinity is running for its life, trying to figure out how to combat things. We've already seen that Roland has chosen not to join Cortana. Of course, they haven't told us why yet. But things like that would be kind of neat to find out in those logs, too.
So I'm wondering if we're going to see, since it is the arc from Halo 3, and he ties back to that timeline in that game, and kind of hinting what you were talking about earlier, fill in some of the gaps between Halo 3 and Halo 4, because we were still on there on the Ark, probably in some, well, I don't know, because the Halo detonated, shook itself apart.
We evacuated the Ark because the Halo ring was firing. So any Covenant or anybody that was left there is dead.
So I wonder if they managed to open the portal.
No.
Again.
They sent a ship via normal slip space to it, after the Arbiter. Because when the Arbiter and Chief left on, I can't think of the name of the ship now.
In Amberclad?
No. Oh, help me. What was the name of the ship? Forward Unto Dawn. That's it is. When they left on that, the ship was cut in half.
Oh, it was the Dawn. That's right.
And because the firing of the Halo ring collapsed the portal. And it wasn't until a few years later, when they brought a Hurrigok in, they were able to reopen the portal to go back to the Ark, because, this is extended lore stuff. So sorry if it's a spoiler. To go back to the Ark to keep the monitor of the Ark from firing all the Halo rings. That's probably in one of those books you haven't read yet, Dust.
No, you're correct. I have plenty of reading time coming up when I have my trip to Iceland. So good. I'll be reading another book. I read the Halo Journal on my way back from London. So I'll be reading another Halo book during my flights there and back. I will be reading more.
Good.
Pins is saying Hunters in the Dark.
Yes.
I will work on that.
But anyway, really, as far as the history after Halo 3, they have the one ship, which was covered in, was it the last of the Forerunner trilogy?
I thought the last of the Forerunner trilogy was Slentium. When they were talking to
Chakas. 343.
Yeah, the monitor. Yep.
Yeah. Well, he steals the ship that went to the Ark. That's where they find 343.
Oh, I never made that connection.
Yeah. Well, think about it. Where did they kill 343? Or, well, attempt to kill him?
At the Ark.
Right. The Rubicon, I think, is the name of the ship. Yeah. Thank you, Eric Yabu. The Rubicon left Earth via normal slip space and traveled to the Ark. When they got there, gotcha. they found 343's carapace and managed to reactivate him. But when he reactivated, he didn't immediately assume the 343 guilty spark persona. He was Chakas, the human that helped.
Oh, got it.
The Bornstellar on Earth awaken the Didact. So, long lore story. So there's a little bit there, but not a whole lot. What would be interesting is what happened after the Rubicon left, or well, between Hunters in the Dark and now, because in Hunters in the Dark, they started to establish a base on the Ark, one, to study it, and two, to repair it. There's also one other thing on there, Mendicant Bias, is still on the Ark.
Okay.
There is a possibility that we may hear from Mendicant.
I'm going to have to put a major spoiler tag on this podcast.
Yes. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Anyway, I don't know that we will hear from Mendicant, but it would be kind of cool if we did have something.
Well, we heard from him in the terminals in Halo 3.
Well, we actually heard from two AI in the terminals. One of them was the monitor for the Ark, and then the other one was Mendicant Bias, if I remember correctly.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Back to the cannon fodder. There is a mention of the classic helmets that actually were released today. So we'll get to that in a little bit. We're going to skip on over that part. We have an update for Halo Ground Command. Grim goes into a little bit more detail on the Elite Ultras and the ODST air assault units. And they include some pictures of some of the finished designs and some of the 3D modeling things that they had to use to make it. Lots of cool stuff in there for those that have the Ground Assault game or are looking to pre-order. You can go ahead and pre-order those now from Spartan Games.
I want one of these elites that's about a foot tall.
Get like a custom design or whatever.
It would be cool if they'd let us get a hold of the 3D models to where we could, you know, 3D print our own characters.
It really would.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand why they don't, because, you know, they want to sell them, but it would still be cool.
Well, for the nerdy or massive Halo fans, if they offered to custom size those and just jacked up the price, you'd have people that would go out and pay the extra money to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Take, for example, if one of the little elite figures here was, I don't know, maybe $15 a figure, and they're maybe 3 inches tall. Well, quadruple the price and add maybe a 25% markup on it for the custom size of it, and there you go. And people would buy that.
Well, yeah, I mean, people order their own Spartans 3D printed.
Laird, I don't think these are sandboxed or printed, though, at least for the Ground Command pieces. For the normal sandboxer stuff, yeah, you can order your own size of things, but it'd be cool if we could custom request different things on different sizes. But I mean, that doesn't really make sense from a commercial standpoint of...
No, it doesn't. I mean, they're making...
It'd be just a nice to have.
Yeah. It's just something that, you know, I would like to have. Not that I would have the money to buy it, but, you know, it's just one of them off-the-wall things. Anyway, back to the article. Random tangent.
Hey, tangents are okay every once in a while.
I tell you what, these figures do look awesome, though.
They really do. And I remember the last one that we were talking about in the last Cannon Fodder, they looked really cool. The only thing is, the fleet battles and the ground command, they're just pricey. I mean, they're quality stuff, but they certainly are pricey.
Well, most of those games, they are pricey because of the amount of work it takes to build them. I mean, think about it. All the tooling and stuff that they have to make to create each one of those games. And then they do an add-on pack like the Elite Ultras. Then they have to create all new tooling to create them.
And QA and design and all that stuff. Yes.
Yeah, I remember back in the day when Dungeons and Dragons came out, when they first started releasing books for it. It wasn't uncommon for one of the books to be anywhere from $50 to $80.
Are you talking about one of the quest books or the scenario books? Okay. Dang. $50 to $80?
Yeah, now keep in mind this was in the early 80s.
So with inflation, that's probably what? $160, $200?
I don't even want to think about it. I had cousins that would play it, and they tell me how much money they got invested in this thing, in this game. It's just a strategy game. There are no real pieces that you move. It is, you are basically doing calculations on who wins the game. This character has this much defense, this much attack. It does this much damage against its opponent, and you figure out who wins.
Sounds like another game that's coming out here in a couple of weeks.
They were doing this on notepads.
That's true.
I mean, they were literally sitting there with notepads doing this. You had your game master who, he enforced all the rules of the game. The different die. I mean, a 20-sided die cost you $10.
Cost you $10 back then?
Well, I don't know. I really don't remember what they were costing. But, just die were ungodly expensive compared to just buying a set of dice.
Gotcha.
You could pick up a set of dice, a good set of dice, for like $2.
Yeah, I bought a D&D set, or like a set of, it was like a D4 all the way up to a D20. That was $12.
Back when it first came out, they didn't have packs of die. You bought individual die. And, they've improved the manufacturing processes over the years, so everything's gotten cheaper to make. Not to mention the game is not near as popular as it used to be.
I did play some D&D last year. I did a couple of days of it. We had a campaign with a few people from my church group, and we started out on a few nights, and then schedules just got complex and confusing, and just didn't have time to consistently do it on a regular basis.
It's a time-consuming game.
But it's fun.
Yeah, that's not my kind of fun. It's a very analytical game.
Yeah. I would really be more invested in something like this if I had friends here locally that were as much into Halo as I was and be willing to do those kinds of tabletop games.
I mean, even just people that are really interested in tabletop strategy games. I mean, you don't have to be a Halo fan to play Fleet Battles or Ground Command.
True. Even amongst the friends that I have here, there's not many that are interested in those kind of strategy tabletop games. They're all like, what's an easy card game we can do in 20 to 30 minutes? Or they want to sit there for 2 or 3 hours.
With my friends, if we get together, we play, we'll play Uno, we'll play Skip Bo, we'll play this weird sort of gin thing. I can't even think what the name of it is. That is not a 20-minute game. That is a 2.5-hour game.
Yep. It's a dedicated amount of time, that's for sure.
Is that one, I think it has 12 or 14 different hands. And the last hand, you have to get 3 runs, which means you have to get 3 separate runs of 4 cards, 5 cards.
Okay.
And to lay down, you have to discard your last card to lay down. You can't have any just random cards. They all have to fit in a run, which is a pain in the butt.
Sounds like it.
But anyway, Wild Horse?
Yes. So there are some more question and answers from some of the authors of the latest collection of graphic novel stuff, Tales from Slipspace. Jonathan Wayshack Cody Chamberlain and Alex Irvine had a few Q&A things with Grimm. So if you're interested in that, which I haven't looked through that at all yet, so I'm going to pass up on this until I have a chance to read it. But for those who have, you can go on over and Grimm asked all of them a few questions about working on the project, their thoughts on contributing to something like this, what's their part about working with it and contributing to the anthology series and all that stuff. So make sure you go check that out if you have read some of the Tales of Slipspace stuff, or if you haven't picked it up and are looking for a little bit more of a backstory behind it and maybe need a little bit convincing to get it, then maybe reading through this will help convince you to get it. First article done. Moving on to article number two.
You want to do the helmets?
The helmets we'll get to here in a little bit because they are out. The community update that Sketch released today has a little bit more info about the helmets in there with regards to the trailer. So we'll cover it here in just a little bit.
All right.
So the next thing is we have a little bit of stats breakdown from the Blitz beta. So they released a little infographic from last week's community update. There is a lot of games played. A lot. So much, in fact, that there was over or just about 800,000 hours played. Almost 800,000.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. That is incredibly a lot. So I'm breaking this down into how many days. It's it is 33,000 days. So if we divide that by 365.25 for years, that's almost 91 years.
Wow.
Of gameplay. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Although every time we look at these kind of beta stats, it's always, I mean, you have to look at how many people are playing it, but that's 91 years worth of time for one person that's spent playing a beta. I think Tales of Wars 2 is going to be pretty successful and popular.
Well, I hope so.
Just maybe. So for the rest of the stats breakdown, there were 1,522,004 banished wins and 1,575,786 UNSC wins. UNSC eked out just a little bit more than banished. Most popular leader was Cutter, and I have a feeling that's probably because that's the default favorite, and whenever everyone goes into quick play, that's the one that they mostly get. So I have a feeling that's probably the reason why. So it would have been interesting to see the stat for all of the fine games and the 1v1, 2v2, 3v3s, except and not counting the quick matches. Because I wonder how many people actually went in and changed their favorite.
I did.
Okay. Minus you. I saw quite a few tweets of people complaining about the quick match not being able to select your leader and deck. So I don't know how clear it was at the start that you had to go and set your favorite for quick match to be different than Cutter if you wanted someone different than Cutter. I think they could have done something a little bit more along the lines of if you do quick match and you're searching, it tells you what leader that you're going to be playing as a lot more prominently. It did list it, I think, somewhere, but I think it could have been made more prominent.
Well, no, what they need to do is they need to give you the ability to pick what leader you want to be.
The whole thing about quick play is you want to click it and get in as quick as possible and not have to worry about choosing your leader in a deck. So I can see where they want that to be as fast as possible. And then if you want to go a little bit more in tactical, find a match instead.
The deal with quick match is you still have to wait for the game to load anyway. So it's not like you're wasting time. It's great, but with me, my playstyle is going to change from game to game just because of the map that goes on. And, you know, I may want to change the leader that I use.
True. I mean, the quick match and the find match use the same matchmaking thing.
Yeah, I understand that. But when the map pops up, you know, I may want to use a different leader than I normally do on certain matches. You know, you really, in the beta, it really didn't matter because there was only one map.
Yeah. If that's the case, though, then just do find match. And then when it finds the match, then you'll be able to choose your leader. because part of the choosing leader is seeing what other people are going to choose. That you're going to have to wait for that anyways. I just see why they would not necessarily have that option there in the quick match. I see what you saying with the whole, you have the time to change it.
Well, I mean, you know, in the original Halo Wars, you didn't have that opportunity. You didn't have a quick match. You picked your leader and you click find match.
So they're doing it backwards in this game.
Well, in this one, they're giving you two options.
Well, and to your point, though, you find the match, you know what map you're going to be playing on, and then you want to pick your leader based on what map you're getting. So in a way, that makes more sense. A couple other of the stats. There were over 170 million units killed. Capture point B was the most contested, which kind of makes sense. It's in the middle of the map.
Big surprise.
I know, right? The ODST drop was the most used leader power. I think that was primarily because it was the default one you got with Cutter. So again, it would have been nice to kind of filter out a little bit some of the quick match default favorites. The most played cards were the Marines card, the Cyclops card, and the Locust card. No surprise on the Locust.
No. Stay tuned. More Locust information coming.
Yes. The rarest cards were the Honor Guard, Atriox's Chosen, and Spartan Douglas. So I'm guessing those are the three least played cards, or maybe the three least opened cards.
Probably three least unlocked cards.
Okay. There were a total of almost 6.4 million packs opened. There were 112, almost 113 million cards played. And the most wins by a single player was by RTS Yoda Vids with 783 wins.
I can't believe that. That is hardcore.
That's impressive. I could not. I don't think I will ever get that many wins just playing any RTS ever, because I'm not an RTS player.
Yeah, I think I got maybe that many wins. No, I don't have that many wins, period. In anything. I mean, if you add up all the Halo games I've played, I probably get relatively close to that number. I mean, between 2, 3, 4, and 5, I probably get close to that number in wins.
I would assume it would be a little bit more than that. I mean, you've played a fair amount.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean I win that much.
True.
I mean, in Halo 2, I think my win percentage was like 30%.
Yeah, but how many games in Halo 2 did you play? Thousands?
I honestly can't tell you anymore. I played a lot, don't get me wrong.
Fair enough.
Darn it, that other company. Why'd you have to change a website where I can't access my Halo 2 stats?
You still can.
I don't think it gives me total games played.
So if you find an old like stats, well, grant, this was more than a year ago when I checked, but old Halo 2 stats link still work.
Okay, here you go. On Waypoint, you can look up stats. Total games played, 1,004.
For Halo 2 or for?
For Halo 2.
Okay.
4,787 kills, 7,355 deaths.
Fair enough.
It doesn't give me wins and losses. That's all it gives me. In Halo 3, wow, I definitely played a lot more Halo 3. 2,810 games.
That's a lot.
16,000 kills. Well, 16,078. But that's, as far as stats, that's pretty much all it gives you.
So, I mean, probably within that Halo 3 stuff, you could probably find 700 wins or so.
Yeah, no.
Oh, come on. I'm trying to give you a little bit of credit here.
Yeah, no. I know.
To each his own. Still, though, 783 wins in a time frame of 11 days is nuts. And Erkibu is throwing out in the chat that he has about 4,000 victories in Warzone.
Only? Come on, Erkibu. I thought you were a good Halo player.
Oh, wow. He's calling you out, Erkibu. So the top three on Windows 10 were Nib 7221 with 279 wins, SOH 44 Instinct with 226 wins, and SciPy SX77, it's a bunch of letters and numbers, with 204 wins. And then on Xbox One, SS Cryptic with 511 wins. Oh, and these are the different playlists. So the 1v1, 2v2, and 3v3, respectively. So 2v2 on Xbox One, Cool Skidda with 370 wins, and then RTS Yoda Vids with 598 wins on the 3v3 playlist. So more than 75% of his wins were on the 3v3 playlist.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy stuff.
Crazy awesome!
Yeah. Tell you, man, I'm looking forward to this game.
But, you know, I have to admit, between, you know, the Banished wins and the UNSC wins, it's pretty close.
It is.
I mean, it looks like they were played equally. So I don't know how much that quick match actually played into that.
That's a good point.
I mean, you know, you're within 50,000 of each, you know, of the numbers, or within 50,000 of each other. So
you make a good point. I know I certainly didn't try any Banished leaders when I was playing. We discussed that last week.
And the reason I played Banished is because I'm pretty familiar with the way the UNSC units play. And don't get me wrong, I did play Captain Cutter and Anders. I didn't play Isabel. But, you know, I wanted to really kind of get into using the Banished units, because, you know, that's about the only time you're going to get to use them is when you're actually doing multiplayer or the firefight. So, you know, I really wanted to get in there and really play with the units and, you know, see how well they worked against different opponents and things like that.
No, I definitely agree. For me personally, I just didn't have the time to get in and try every different leader that I wanted to try. Especially after they gave us the 20 different boost packs to open.
Mm-hmm. I do like that they give you that Y button that just opens it. That opens all the cards.
The skip feature was really nice. I like that they had that in there, because like, I don't need to look at every single card to open it. It's just like, open, skip, okay, I see what I got. Awesome.
I mean, for the people that do pack opening videos or things like that, which I probably will not be doing. It kind of all depends on how quickly packs come in, because I'm not going to buy them. So it kind of all depends on how fast they open. But if I were to do a pack opening video, I'm glad that they give you that skip button, because I don't think I'd want to open them one at a time doing a video. I don't want to do them one at a time not doing a video.
Agreed. So heading back over to last week's update, we're still going through a lot of the stuff over there. There was a Xbox Wire article that featured some original art pieces from some world-class artists, Greg Gores or Gabs Domaradsky. I'm going to butcher these names. Craig Drake and Kevin Tong. So if you head over to Xbox Wire, this was an article posted also on February 2nd, so last Thursday. And there's some pretty cool art pieces.
I like the two they're showing in the article.
It kind of reminds me of the whole Locke versus Chief pose from Halo 5 Guardians. I really like the one by Kevin Trung, though. That's the red and orange accent. Then it has Anders and Shipmaster. I really like that one. And I also like how the three different artists took two of the different leaders. So Kevin Tong did the Shipmaster and Anders, and then the one that you see in the article, the one by Craig Drake, is Atriox and Cutter. And then the last one, or sorry, I think I'm getting those out of order. Gabs Domaradsky did the Shipmaster Anders one, and then Kevin Tong did the one that's on the article. That's the Atriox and Cutter one, and then Craig Drake did the Isabel and Decimus one. No love for Forge yet.
Yeah, they look really nice. They're really nice. They will be really nice art pieces.
They work well for foam backgrounds. Hint, hint. They're kind of designed that way too, because they're all vertical pieces, and I mean, they look like they're mostly all the same size.
If nothing else, they can be cut down to fit a phone screen pretty easily.
Yeah, they're vertical poster / foam background shaped. Okay, moving on. There were some Halo 5 rec changes that we kind of covered last week, but there were more that were released on Friday. And there's also a little Q&A on how they take feedback and how they adjust the Rex cards, and there's a lot of analysis that they do on weapons that are used, what kind of gets exiled because they're too expensive, that kind of stuff. So there's a little Q&A on that, and I think they've done a Q&A like this in the past before, but if anyone is interested into the feedback that they take and how they change certain rec costs and how they kind of take feedback and suggestions and implement them, then there's a little Q&A piece in last week's community update that you can go and read. For the rec changes that took place this past Friday that got applied on February 3rd, all the wasps went up by one rec level, which kind of sucks a little bit. Just because of how, if you have people to support you with wasps, they're great. But if you're the only one up there, it's, you're flying with like paper planes.
It's honestly the change from level 3 to level 4 on the standard wasp, even though it is very easy to kill, I think it's a good change, because there were a lot of people pulling wasps out in that early game, because, you know, in regular Warzone, it's pretty quick and easy to get to 3. Usually by the time you've captured your armory, you are close to or at level 3. At level 3, there aren't a lot of weapons that are good against vehicles. You know, you have your connectable AR, and I mean, you have some power weapons you can pull out that will do damage to them, but you know, there's, you know, you don't have like Spartan lasers or rocket launchers or anything like that available at Rec 3.
Imagine a Warthog that had dual Spartan lasers mounted as a turret.
Oh, jeez. You know, granted, you can pull out a Warthog and they'll tear through a wasp pretty quick, but there are people out there that are really good with wasps, and, you know, they know how to bob and weave and, you know, duck and hide behind stuff.
That's true.
So I think it's a good change.
I guess it's one of those things that they're trying to, I guess, kind of match some of the difficulty curve with it, because if you do have a team that can support you with it and help cover you, then yeah, it can be very useful. But if you don't, then you can get taken out very quickly. So that's the wasp change. The base Phaeton got changed from 8 to 7 points. The Gunfighter Magnum, which people were referring to as the, people were preferring the BRs to the Magnum, so they lowered it down, was changed from 3 to 2. Tactical Magnum was lowered from 4 to 3. The Morph Sight on, looks like all except for the DMR were decreased by 3. The DMR one was decreased by 2. So the Morph Sight, which is the Promethean Sight,
Forerunner Sight,
yes, got pulled down to be the same as the Carbine Sight. The base Plasma Pistol got reduced from 3 to 2, so I will stop selling those Plasma Pistols because I've sold every single one of those.
Well, in Firefight, they came in real handy, and it was good that they dropped them to level 2, because there's a lot of times in Firefight where you need that Plasma Pistol at level 2.
Yes. For me, though, it's one of those things where I don't use the plasma pistol too often. So for all my rec weapons, if I have a weapon that the base model has a mod model that's of the same rec value. So take the beam rifle, for example. There's the beam rifle, I think that's 5, but there's another beam rifle that's not the base model that's also 5. I don't use the beam rifle that often, so I'll sell all my base beam rifles and I'll keep the other one.
Yeah, I do the same thing. You know, I would sell off all my base plasma pistols, because the next one up was the same rack.
Yep.
I forget what it is. The Spitfire.
Yes.
And, you know, the Spitfire, you can hold the trigger down as long as you want and not lose energy. You know, it was a preferred plasma pistol over the base plasma pistol. But now that they've dropped that plasma pistol down to rec level 2, in those early rounds, I can pull it out to take care of freaking Phaetons.
Yeah.
I don't know why they have Phaetons on a level 2 kill enemies.
Well, they have a Phantom dropship as one of them. That's one of the level 2 kill enemies. Granted, it's not.
Yeah, but the Phantoms leave. The Phaetons don't.
Well, there's a couple of the Phantoms that are the target ones on level 2 that you have to take out.
Yeah, but they're the target.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
With the Phaetons, the Phaetons are just providing cover. The goal is to kill Prometheans.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And if you can't get out of the bases because the Phaetons will light you up as soon as you stick your head out.
OP.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, the plasma pistol thing is good, not the Phaeton thing. Just to clarify. Random vehicle ultra rare got bumped up from 6 to 7. So I'm hoping that means that whenever you do that random vehicle, that it is more likely to get a better vehicle and not just like spawn a default ghost or whatever.
Yeah, you'll get a mongoose.
Stop that.
I have had very little good luck with random vehicle cards. So they pretty much get fed back into buying rec packs.
There have been times where I've gone and sold off some of the random ones.
Now, when Warzone Turbo was around, I'd use them all the time.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons why I keep them, is because I'm hoping Warzone Turbo will be a featured Warzone playlist at some point again.
That's fine. I have my firefight.
Warzone Turbo was so much fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun. You know, I'm to the point now that, you know, I've got a lot of legendary weapons that I don't use in Warzone Firefight just because there's really no point in pulling them out because they don't do enough damage to
justify the increased cost.
Right. You know, there's no reason to pull out a Norfang when it won't one-shot a soldier.
Well, and that's kind of the sad part of how Warzone's evolved, is that it was great when you had Warzone first as it came out, where you had the parties of 12 and everyone was in actually playing normal Warzone and not as much assault. But then when Firefight came out, everyone migrated over to Firefight. So it changed how kind of the rec system was used and the focus on what weapons were used.
But you know what I'm saying is, you know, when Warzone, if Warzone Turbo shows back up, I have all these legendary weapons and damage boosts and all this stuff that I can use in that. You know, I don't need to rely on random cards like before, when you didn't have, when you know, all you had was Warzone and Warzone Assault. You know, in those game modes, you know, they, those higher rec level cards and legendary cards were actually really useful. In, you know, Warzone Firefight, they're not useful. It's just they just don't have enough damage output. So it gives me an excuse to pull out the Norfangs and stuff like that if Warzone Turbo comes back out.
The random weapons and random vehicles were all tweaked to have their probabilities avoiding over or underpowered wrecks for their levels. I'm guessing that means for like a level 3, you're not going to get anything below maybe like a level 2 or above a level 4 or maybe 5 or something like that.
Yeah, I know. I did a common and got an Ultra Wraith one time.
Nice. Yeah, I don't think you can get that anymore.
The rest of the time, I got good gooses or mongoose.
So there were a few times where early on in the Warzone days before Firefight, where I would roll on one of those random ones hoping to get a certain power weapon or power vehicle to help kind of capture a point and secure the victory. And there were a few times where it came through for me and I got Ultra Ghosts or Fuel Rod or Railgun or a tank, and it ended up helping win the game.
Yeah. You've had better luck than me. I mean, even in Warzone Turbo, the last time I played it, I went through 4 random vehicle cards before I got something I could actually use.
Ouch.
I mean, 4 times in a row, I got Gun Goose. You know, they were different Gun Geese, but I got a, you know, a regular one. I got an Oni one. I got a Tundra one. And I'm like, really?
It's like, why do I even bother? I really want Warzone Turbo back. Come on, 343. They've redistributed how some of the armor mods come out with the certain rec levels. So they're spreading them out a little bit more. So rec level 3, you're going to be able to have Death from Above, Grenadier, and Patrol Case. Rec level 4, you'll have Automatic, Speed Booster, Frag Grenade Expert, Plasma Grenade Expert, and Splinter Grenade Expert. Rec level 5 will be Reflex Enhancers, Upgraded Thrusters, and Increased Strength. And then Rec Level 6 will be Advanced Sensors, Wheelman, and Upgraded Shields. So instead of everything being at Rec Level 5, now you have them spread out a little bit more. And I kind of like that idea.
Well, it gives you an excuse to use the others.
Yeah, it's just like you would change from an AR pistol to a BR SMG or a DMR SMG or whatever you decide to do for your loadout, but it gives you options as you're going up to kind of add some capabilities. And once you get to the rec level, that for the one that you usually use the most, then you get access to that. So I like how that's kind of split out a little bit more, and they're using that not at just 5.
Yeah, Although I really wish they'd left Wheelman at level 5.
I can see why they put it up at 6.
Can anybody guess why?
It's probably kind of popular.
Yeah, Wheelman and an Ultra Ghost, and you will tear stuff up.
Yeah. Not to mention the Ultra Banshee, too.
Well, at rec level 5, you're not pulling an Ultra Banshee out yet.
No, but level 6 you are. No, or maybe it's 7.
Ultra Banshee was a 7.
It's a 7? Okay.
I think it's 7. Still, you can do a lot of damage.
Yes, you can.
I've been playing, instead of playing Heroic Warzone, I've been playing Legendary Warzone, and pretty much just about everything will almost one-shot an Ultra Ghost without Wheelman. It doesn't destroy the Ghost, but it gets it pretty darn close to being dead. So I miss my Wheelman.
Aw. Well, you just have to work a little bit harder to get to it, at least this time. So Receptor 17 has been taking some lovely pictures of the classic helmets. So he got it early, and he's actually been taking promotional pictures, and Halo has been throwing them up on their Twitter. So you will have seen Halo tweet out some of Receptor's work over the past week or so. So give him some props for that if you find him on your perusing through social media or whatever. Good friend of the show. You can find them over on Griffball Hub a lot as well. Further down in here, we have some more discussion about the Timmy helmet. And we'll actually get a little bit more to that in this week's update. So I'm going to actually skip over this a little bit because we have more information on that. They talk a little bit about the Warlords experience, kind of how it was a good experiment for what they were trying to see what the population would how react. And like I think we mentioned this last time, but in case we didn't, Friday and Saturday looked really good, but Sunday the population just dropped. So it was one of those things where it was nice to have it back, but it didn't really seem sustainable as a permanent matchmaking experience right now. But they're going to make some tweaks and they'll bring it back in a little bit later. There was a bug with the join in progress that prevented people from rejoining if two players end up dropping. So there's some stuff that when they bring back Warlords in about a month or so, they'll retest that code and make sure everything is good for that. And then there's some community stuff in that we discussed last time as well, talking about the Listen In podcast, new information on the World Championship Handbook, a lot of other tidbits that you can go and read up on. And then another 343 team member spotlight, which hopefully we'll come back around to those in the future. There was a Easter egg in Warzone that was hinted at in a poem by David Ellis a couple weeks ago, and some people over on Reddit found the Easter egg and was able to get it on film, and they posted it up on YouTube, and it's a grunt mounting a crawler in Warzone Firefight.
That'd be kind of a painful ride.
Just a bit.
I wonder where that spike went.
I don't want to know. That's it for last week's community update. So we'll go ahead and roll over to some more recent news, stuff from this week. So for anyone that is following the pro circuit for Halo, the World Championships, the finals were announced this past week on Monday, actually. It's going to be taking place in Burbank, California at the ESL Studios on March 24th through the 26th. I will be there. As long as my girlfriend lets me go, doing pro interviews and doing some recaps and whatnot. But you can go ahead and purchase your tickets as of Tuesday. There's a 1-day pass, there is a 3-day pass, and then there is a legendary 3-day pass. So if you buy any of the passes, you'll be able to get spectator access, and then you'll get also a Halo World Championship t-shirt and gold packs. For the 3-day ticket, you can enter to compete in the free-for-all competition that they'll have. And then if you have the legendary ticket, you will have preferred seating during the 3 days of the event. And you'll also get an ESL hoodie and a Halo World Championship drawstring bag. For the 1-day ticket, you'll get 3 rec packs. For the 3-day ticket, you'll get 5 rec packs. And for the legendary ticket, you'll get 10 rec packs. And again, tickets are on sale now. You can head on over to halo.gg. Or find more information over at HCS on Twitter. And again, that is in Burbank, California, March 24th through March 26th. I will be looking forward to meeting up with some of the pro players that I've come to make friends of over the past couple of years, and hope to meet up with the casters again. And everything is looking good for that. Unfortunately, I'm not going to PAX East. I missed out on the ticket opportunity, so I'm kind of taking this trip as kind of being that replacement. So it'll be nice. I'm looking forward to it. Moving on to some updates to Waypoint and the Halo app on Windows 10 that will be coming with Halo Wars 2. Integrated stats and deck building is going to be a core feature of the website, and then there's going to be some basic stats that you'll see in the Halo app under the Halo Wars 2 tab. They talk mostly about the web interface, not necessarily the app, but there is some kind of basic functionality within the app. And then you have a full service record that you'll be able to view in the app as far as like game history, wins, losses. And then on the website, you'll be able to completely customize your deck or your decks for your leaders and manage your deck library there as you would be able to do it in game, which is a really cool feature. I like how they've done a lot of stuff with the Halo 5 customization online and being able to manage your recs and change your Spartan there, and a lot of the stuff that they've added since Halo 5's launch. So it's good to see that they're coming out with this feature set straight out the gate with the launch of Halo Wars 2.
I always like being able to access that kind of stuff on the website because it's a little easier to deal with, you know, in a browser than it is on the console.
Yeah, and it's nice to be able to, like, on your downtime, be able to go and manage stuff, and then when you get to your console or get in-game, you're just focused on getting into matches or playing campaign or whatnot. It's something that you can kind of do in a little bit of downtime instead of having to sit in-game and mess around with it. Especially for something like building decks, because for something with Halo 5 Guardians of just, like, going in and customizing your player, okay, doesn't take that much, but for doing a deck, I mean, if you're anyone is like for doing card games like Magic the Gathering or whatnot, you can spend quite a bit of time creating decks. So having this as a feature you can use on the website, I think a lot of people are going to use that to its fullest extent. And Confowl is saying, plus you can Halo at work. This is true.
Don't let the boss catch you.
Well, unless your boss is okay with it. Who knows? Maybe you can just get him to be involved with Halo, and you can sell him on Halo.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Underneath all the web info and the app info that I think it was Grim provided, he also had a little bit of Q&A with some of the folks responsible for the web integration piece. So KP, who's the program manager, I actually know KP fairly well, Rob Johnson, ecosystem designers, Simon Gordon, software engineer, and Tyson Matinich is an engineer. They have a few Q&As, and they kind of describe the experience of doing the deck builds and being able to see your game history as it compares to the in-game functionality. There's a little bit of information about what you can look forward to as new things coming out, and one of the things that kind of caught my eye was the difference that they're going to be showing as far as statistics, because whenever you look at first-person shooter statistics, you're looking at kills, wins, losses, assists, all that kind of stuff. But for the RTS stuff, they're going to be looking more information on production of units, resources that you gather, populations that you're able to get up to, and more of the tactical information with regards to your armies. And that's more useful on the RTS scene than it is the first person shooter side of the house of like wins and losses and all that kind of stuff. Information at that level, they say, is also more useful for identifying patterns and deriving opponents' strategies, which we're looking at a strategy game. That's a little more kind of a planning strategy than it is for first person shooter of like immediate strategy. So you're going to see a little bit of difference in there. I don't remember what the stats looked like for the original Halo Wars. I know they had some stat tracking, but I don't remember what it looked like at all, because I barely played any multiplayer.
Yeah, I don't even think the website's still up.
It might be. Pens, Confal, Erkibu, any of you want to check?
No, let me look. I think I have it bookmarked. I may not.
While you're doing that, some of the new stuff that they're looking to include is stats across all game modes, additional charts to illustrate kind of a timeline of events, unit build orders to provide insights on strategy, and of course they're going to be looking for community feedback on what people like about the stats that they have, what they would like to see more of, maybe less of, all that kind of stuff. So 343 obviously is very much looking for feedback in all aspects of the game. So make sure your voice is heard when it comes out, and compare it with other RTSs if you're big RTS fans of what you see in other games, and throw your recommendations their way. They're going to be looking for it. That covers the Halo Wars 2 stats and game history stuff that's going to be coming with the launch of the game, which will be pretty nice. And that brings us to the latest community update, which was released a little bit before we started this podcast.
Just a little bit.
About 30 minutes, to be in fact. So starting off, we have Ultimate Edition users being able to access the game early on the 17th, just barely more than 7 days from us recording this podcast. Anyone who has pre-ordered the Ultimate Edition will be able to play Halo Wars 2 early. Now, PC preload went live kind of under the radar a couple of weeks ago, and the Xbox One preload just went live about an hour ago. So you can go ahead and preload if you've purchased Halo Wars 2. You can preload the game on your Windows 10 PC or Xbox One. It is a Play Anywhere, so if you bought it on one platform, you can download it on both. That's how it works. So whichever platform you're playing the play on, go ahead and preload it. If you're playing on both at some point, go ahead and preload it on both. I know for me, after I'm done with the podcast, I can go ahead and preload it on my Xbox because I already have it downloaded on my Windows 10 PC.
Welcome to the Ark.
Oh?
Yeah, on my Xbox One, I looked at Ready to Install, and it has the Halo 2 artwork, and it says, Welcome to the Ark.
Oh, cool. We are back on the Ark.
I honestly thought it was already installed.
Well, do like GT's doing it and install it. There's also a couple of ad spots that were put out today. There's a new little ad campaign, and it'd be cool if they continue this on a little bit more than just the two that they have out there. But they're calling the little web shorts, I guess, War of Wits. So there's one where Atriox is a car salesman and Cutter is purchasing the car. And it's kind of a back and forth on how they plan about getting their way in these certain situations. So if you haven't watched them yet, you must go watch them because they are really well done. And maybe Laird, if he's still in here, has a little more background information on this, having a little bit of the insider knowledge that he does. But the Atriox looks like it's animatronic a little bit.
Well, it probably has a puppet head. I'm sure there's a person in it. It's probably got a puppet head.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
A couple of people off camera operating the mask or something, because either that or they found somebody that's really freaking tall. But no, I'm sure it's an animatronic head or, you know, a puppet style head.
The main reason I was saying that is because they're not using CG. They're using something that has been made in real life.
Oh, so, yeah, this is live action.
So this is something that we'll see in the Halo Museum someday.
Someday. It is freaking hilarious. I highly recommend, if you have not watched them over and over and over again.
They're great.
I licked it. Oh.
Laird did chime in and he says it is fully animatronic. And it was a guy in the costume with stilts.
The actor was 6'7". Yeah, he definitely wasn't short.
Just 2 inches taller than me. I could have played Atriox. Although, I'd have to learn how to walk on stilts and not fall over.
Maybe Decimus.
Okay. I'll concede to Decimus.
They were absolutely hilarious commercials.
They really were. The other one was them fighting over the armrest in an airplane. And that's what GT was just referencing about licking things.
You had to give it away. You wouldn't let them find out on their own.
If they're listening to this podcast and they haven't watched it yet, then they need to get the priorities straight, right? I'm kidding.
Yes.
Go watch those. They're on Xbox's official YouTube channel and the Xbox On official YouTube channel as well. I would imagine they're on the dashboard somewhere. And I don't know if these would make TV spots, but they're hilarious. And you should go watch them. For some of the Blitz follow-up, there is some feedback that 343 responded to. I know there was a lot of discussions about colors, so they said they're going to be looking into ways to make that experience a little bit better and easier to identify the colors. They said they are going to fix some of the PC UI bugs. So I mentioned this on the last podcast, and the mini map clicking thing, they said they're addressing that, which is nice. There are some comments on the, about being able to group stuff during Blitz. And they said that the 5 through 0 keys still use groupings, but the 1 through 4 is still going to be mapped to all the Blitz cards. But if you're on PC, you can use that grouping. Proving Grounds will be the only map that will be available to be played in Blitz at the game's launch, which kind of sucks. I was hoping there would be more than just the one map, but looking at the response that they have, they didn't say outright it was only Proving Grounds, but the way they phrased it made it seem it was going to be only Proving Grounds for Blitz. As far as rank and experience, you'll have a visible rank that will be based on experience, so completing weekly and daily challenges, playing games, and unlocking achievements. So that'll be your like service record progression rank. But there will be a skill rank implemented post-launch. So everything right now is kind of socially based, but later on, I guess they'll kind of, like they did with Halo 5 Guardians, where everything was kind of mixed in together, they'll break that out into competitive and social experiences. PC has a feature for push-to-talk being implemented in it, and then there's also a ability to mute yourself in the roster. So if you have a mic and just want to be muted, you can mute yourself. There was a question in there about having other factions in there, like the Flood and Forerunners, and they said that they're only focusing on UNSC and Banished for this game. People were asking about a map editor, and they said that they have no plans for one at this time. People were asking about preloading, and we just mentioned that preloading is live for Windows 10, and it's now live for Xbox One. They're working on a fully compiled list of changes and tweaks they're making with regards to community feedback. I have a feeling we'll get that probably next week before the early access goes live. There's some questions about regular versus veteran, Cyclops. So they're looking to make that a little bit more distinct and clear on the card descriptions. I already talked about the grouping question. There was a question about, and this is more for PC, but screens that have a 21:9 aspect ratio, whether or not it would either clip the top and bottom of the default view or if it would add it wider. And they said it would just add more wider fidelity. So what you would normally have for the top and bottom viewpoint, you just get a wider view. There was a question about increasing population cap on Xbox One due to resources. They're looking at optimizations based on feedback, and they said they are able to increase the population cap between the beta from last year and the upcoming release. I didn't even know that was an issue before. I probably just didn't play enough games to realize it was an issue. People were talking about score limits and how short the Blitz games felt, but as far as their visions for it, they're taking that into account, but they want this to be a action-oriented, quick experience, giving a little bit more variety, which I think is appropriate.
The only thing I would probably say about the scoring is, this is something they'll have to kind of watch, is some type of mercy rule. That, you know, that is about the only suggestion I can make. You know, if you get so far behind, it just goes ahead and ends the match. But the game seems to be the right length, you know, for a quick hop in, play a few games. I don't think it needs to be any shorter or any longer.
I would agree. And then the last question from feedback that they addressed was anything being rebalanced in the game, i.e. the locusts. And they said, absolutely. So expect a nerf on the locusts a little bit.
Yeah, they actually said they're going to adjust the locust DPS health and shields. In other words, they're going to reduce them. looks like they're going to, oh, they're going to modify the Scarab so it can attack units that are closer. That is something I did notice. It kind of had to have some distance before it would actually attack. You know, if the units were right under it, it wouldn't attack them.
Really? Huh. Okay. Interesting. I didn't play enough to even realize that. Still, at least people found it. You want to read through the rest of the list there?
Sure. Looks like improved responsiveness of the Blitz cards, hand inputs, improved overall game performance, improved UI responsiveness. That's something that I did notice that occasionally it would be rather slow. They improved the skill-based matchmaking to give you a more closely matched opponent.
I need that for sure.
Looks like they improved the initial loading time. I wonder if that's from game launch. That's what I would think. Oh, fixed a bug where card hands and units not responding. I did have a couple of units get stuck and would just sit there. Let's see, you already talked about the PC. Yeah.
Well, so the PC performance and hardware detection and compatibility, that's something that's kind of always a working thing, especially with working on the game that's going to be for a platform that's all identical with the Xbox, and then on PC having a whole bunch of different hardware requirements.
Yeah, that's going to be a continuing thing for several years. As new hardware comes out, they're going to need to update the game to be compatible with the new hardware.
And then improve multiplayer network reliability and lots of additional fixes. On to bonus packs that you'll be able to get. For participating in the beta, you'll be able to get 2 card packs that will be waiting for you on launch. Again, if you just launched the beta, you got 1 pack. And then if you finished the match, you got 1 pack. There's also 2 Halo Wars 1 achievements that will earn you some Blitz pack goodness. If you have earned the Play in the Field achievement, you'll get 1. And then if you have received the Adjudicate the Arbiter achievement, you will receive 3. And I don't know which those achievements are. if you want to look that up real quick.
That was in, you wanted to do, where is it? Playing the Field and
Adjudicate the Arbiter.
Arbiter. Un momento. I will look that up.
As he looks that up, there's a third option, and that is if you have the Halo Wars Definitive Edition, you can get 1 Blitz Pack for completing that achievement and 3 Blitz Packs for completing the same achievement. So if you get both of those achievements on the original Halo Wars 1 and then the Definitive Edition Halo Wars, you'll be able to get those packs. I'm hoping, and I don't know if this is something that is going to actually take place, but I'm hoping this is something after the fact that you can get even after you finish the game. The achievements to unlock, I'm hoping that if you unlock them after the game launches, you'll still be able to get those bonus packs. I don't see anything in here saying that you won't be able to get them, so I think it's probably safe to assume that if you get those achievements after the fact, you'll get those packs. If not, I think people are going to probably make a fuss about it, and then they'll probably go in and fix it. So did you find those achievements?
No, I'm still looking here.
While you do that, I'm going to go ahead and start reading off the full achievement list for Halo Wars 2. Within this list, there's also some screenshots of the achievement backgrounds that you get on Xbox One. So you can go in and pull those if you would like. Starting off, wake up, 10 gamer score, campaign mission completion. Wait a second, what? Oh, so these are all the individual campaign missions. Got it. Next one is A History of Decimation. It's another 10 gamer score. Dominated. Guerrilla Tactics. Stirring the Pot. All Travel is Suspended. Behind Enemy Lines. The Setup. And the Knockout Punch. Fifth Floor. Tools, Guns, and Super Weapons. We know what that's a reference to.
I wonder.
Sentinel Size Matters. Last Stop, This Town. Yeah, so that's all the campaign missions. So that is 3, 6, 9, 12 campaign missions or campaign mission achievements. Learn the Ropes. Complete the Basic Standalone Tutorial. That's 10 gamer score. Know the Ropes. Complete the Advanced standalone tutorial. That's 10 gamer score. Two heads are better than 10 gamer score. Complete a campaign mission in co-op. The war is over. Complete the campaign. 30 gamer score. The hard fight. Complete the campaign on heroic. 40 gamer score. Surviving the long war. Complete the campaign on legendary. 60 gamer score. Gold rush. 20 gamer score. Earn a gold medal on any mission except prologue on any difficulty. Palmer's pure gold. 30 gamer score. Earn a gold medal on every mission except prologue on any difficulty. Wait, huh? Oh, earn a gold medal on any. That was the first one thing. Earn a gold medal on every. Got it. Lone wolf. 40 gamer score. Complete any mission except the signal on solo on legendary with all skulls activated. There's your lazo.
Well, if they do like they do, if they do it like they do it in
Halo 5,
the original.
Oh, okay.
No, in the original Halo, Halo Wars, some of those skulls are pretty good bonus skulls.
That's true. That is very true. We also have Comrades in Arms, 20 gamer score, earn a gold medal on any mission except prologue and co-op on legendary. A little bit extra, 10 gamer score, complete half of the campaign bonus objectives. A lot extra, 20 gamer score, complete all of the campaign bonus objectives. So those are like the Phoenix logs, that kind of stuff. Alas, poor York. 10 gamer score. Collect the skull. Collect half the skulls. Morbid Curiosities, 20 gamer score. And collecting all the skulls, 30 gamer score. And that is collecting a dream. The Scrappy 6, 20 gamer score. Complete a match made multiplayer match as each of the starting six leaders. First Steps, 10 gamer score. Complete a match made multiplayer match. Natural Intelligence, 10 gamer score. Win a skirmish match against only AI opponents. Two heads are better than one, 10 gamer score. Win a skirmish match with a friend against only AI opponents, two or more. You've got a case of the barley, 20 gamer score. In a skirmish match against legendary AI, recycle your base in the first 5 minutes and then win. Oh, geez. Okay. I'm going to need some help with some of these.
Well, a lot of these you can do against AI.
Well, legendary AI.
Yeah, it does. Actually, in the original Halo Wars, they had similar achievement, and it's not that bad.
Okay.
It's at least in the original Halo Wars. Now, Halo Wars 2 might be a totally different story. But hey. As far as getting the packs, you need to, the two achievements you need to complete, one of them is complete the heroic campaign. The other one is win a skirmish match with each leader.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah, you can play, you know, against the AI on normal. It doesn't have to be legendary or heroic or the instant 50 or whatever it is. So you play six games.
That's not bad at all.
Those are easy packs to get.
Heroic mission.
I'll have to make sure that I get.
Will be a little.
Just make difficult. Sure I get that done on the definitive edition.
Me too.
I mean, the campaign part will be harder than the other one. The playing the field achievement is definitely the easier one.
And that one is the one that gets you three packs. All right, so moving on with the rest of the achievement list, we're a little more than halfway done, so we're almost there. The rank and file, 10 gamer score. Recruit or construct one of each UNSC unit in multiplayer or skirmish. Launch units only. The tribe, 10 gamer score. Recruit or construct one of each banished unit in multiplayer or skirmish. Launch units only. Trash compactor, 20 gamer score. Destroy 100 vehicles with anti-vehicle units in multiplayer, skirmish, or blitz. Fly swatter, 20 gamer score. Destroy 100 air units with anti-air units, multiplayer, skirmish, or blitz. Meat grinder, 20 gamer score. Kill 100 infantry with anti-infantry units in multiplayer, skirmish, or blitz mode. So all these are the last few were skirmish or blitz mode only. Spare change, 10 gamer score. Spend 5 leader points in multiplayer or skirmish. Big spender, 30 gamer score. Spend 100 leader points in multiplayer or skirmish. Space healer, 30 gamer score. Cast 100 healing leader powers, multiplayer, skirmish, or blitz. Overkill, 30 gamer score. Destroy 500 units with leader powers, multiplayer, blitz, or skirmish. The hand that feeds, 20 gamer score. It's a secret achievement.
Ooh. Yeah, I love it when they got secret achievements.
Dun, dun, dun. Making the most of my day, or making the most of the day. 10 gamer score. Complete 3 daily challenges in 1 day. A strong showing for the week. 10 gamer score. Complete a set of 3 weekly challenges. Short term commitment. 20 gamer score. Complete at least 1 daily challenge each week for a week. Or each day for a week. Each day
for a week.
Long term commitment. I got mixed up with the next one. Long term commitment. 30 gamer score. Complete at least 1 weekly challenge each week for a month. Duelist. 10 gamer score. Win your first blitz match. Ante up, 10 gamer score, complete the blitz tutorial. Card shark, 20 gamer score, play 25 matches of blitz. Full house, 10 gamer score, play blitz as each of the 6 starting leaders. All or nothing, 10 gamer score, play all the cards in your deck at least once in a single blitz match. Stacked the chips, 10 gamer score, gather 150 energy crates over any number of matches. Jackpot. 40 gamer score, play 777 total cards over any number of matches. Firefighter, 10 gamer score, beat wave 10 in blitz firefight. It just keeps going. 30 gamer score, beat wave 25 in blitz firefight. On fire, 20 gamer score, score 500,000 points in a single blitz firefight. Wow. And last but not least, paint it red. 10 gamer score, achieve the highest possible kill streak in any blitz mode. Blitz or firefight?
Or firefight. At least they don't have the reach general rank.
I still need to get my, inheritor rank?
Yeah, I haven't.
I don't know if that'll ever happen for me, but one can hope, right?
Yeah.
One can hope and dream. Okay, now we're on to the helmets. So the classic helmet rec pack is now available as of today. And it includes 9 of the helmets from Halo 3 and Halo Reach. Lots of good stuff in here. And these are the same helmets that you've been seeing pop up on Halo's feed. And Receptor 17 has been taking those screenshots. And in this community update, you can actually see all of those screenshots that he made in full resolution. So I definitely recommend checking those out and downloading those. Receptor is a beast when it comes to taking screenshots. So I say take advantage of saving them and using them if you so choose, because they are really good.
Definitely.
The helmets, you can either buy the pack for $9.99 or you can buy them with rec points for 150,000 rec points, which I got mine with rec points.
Yeah, I paid money for mine, but that's just so I could buy gold packs for my rec opening as well. So
fair enough. I've already maxed out all of my things I can open.
I took one for you guys just so you could see it on my rec opening.
Well, did you buy it with real money or did you buy it with Bing Rewards money?
No, I bought it with real money.
Okay.
I spent all my Bing money on gold packs.
Gotcha. So, the 9 helmets that are available in the pack are the Mark V Delta, or the Caboose helmet. Military Police, Recon Generation 1, so yes, you can have Recon. The EVA Gen 1, Security Gen 1, the Operator Gen 1, the EOD, QCB, and Pilot. And they are pretty reminiscent of their original counterparts. They're obviously kind of made in the Halo 5 style, but you can tell that they are more or less pulling from what they were originally sourced from, whether Halo 3 or Halo Reach. I still like my Mark VI. I'll probably stick with my Mark VI.
I got my George armor, so I'm good.
So you can go check that out. Go download it. Buy it with rec packs. Buy it with money. However you want to get it. Get nostalgic a little bit. There's also a trailer that they released with it well. That was put together by Hastings, who is a kind of a montage editor. You'll see a lot of stuff that he does for the pro montage edits. He's really good at that kind of stuff. So he put together a video. And I just want to kind of give a shout out to 343 for really using community talent to make some of this. Because just over the last few weeks with having Receptor doing the screenshots for the classic helmets and then getting Hastings to do a little montage video, all the shout outs that they've been doing, and giving information to like the lore folks, like Toa Freak, with regards to the upcoming Halo Wars 2. 343 is just knocking it out of the park as far as community update, getting community people involved with what they're doing. Kudos to them.
Definitely.
I just wanted to add that in there real quick. The Halo Wars 2 live event, I think we talked about this last week, but that goes live at 4 p.m. Pacific time on February 16th, so the day before the early access for Halo Wars 2 goes live, for all the everyone who's pre-ordered the Ultimate Edition. For the Timmy helmet, we have been given the magic number of what you need to play in order to get the helmet, so you have to play at least 50 hours of custom games. That's the magic way to get that helmet. And it's something that they have to do manually. So they run a query for everyone who has a custom games playtime of at least 50 hours. And then every week they will gift that pack out. So I'm currently sitting at just under 28 hours.
I'm at a whopping 17.
Gotta get those customs.
So who has to play some customs tomorrow night?
There you go. And the weekend.
We could all work on our Timmy helmet.
Yeah. We could do like Timmy Tuesdays or Timmy Thursdays, I guess. Because we normally do the podcast on Tuesdays.
Tuesdays. It'd be kind of hard.
Right. So Timmy Thursdays. That'd be funny. So 50 hours of customs. If you've played that much, then you'll get the helmet. If not, then start playing lots of customs. I've actually been playing a lot of custom games on PC lately.
I've seen you've been unlocking achievements.
Yeah. There was on Friday afternoon last week, I just, like, all the easy achievements that you could go in and get, it was just, like, I just went in and got all those. So there's a couple of them where I have to get some other people on, like, I have to make a map with and then play a certain amount of games with and make certain maps and whatnot. I plan on doing that all at some point. I just need to find a time to do it. It'll probably be closer in to the summer.
Yeah, I need to do something other than play the tutorial.
There's a lot of easy ones on there. Do all the classic weapons, make a map with all the classic weapons, make a map with the 5 UNSC vehicles, or no, I think it's just 5 vehicles. Attach a screenshot to your map. I mean, there's a lot of easy achievements.
Yeah, I just got to sit down and take the time to do them.
All right, moving on with the rest of the update. The Mythic Firefight is returning this weekend, and the map is Temple. So get your buddies together and get creamed, or cream them.
No, I'm pretty much get creamed.
Fair enough. As far as arena updates, they're looking on updating some sustainment team. Their team is looking at developing some rotational playlists to roll back into matchmaking. One of the things that they hinted at was classic throwback as a rotational social stuff. And then they also said to coincide with Valentine's Day next week, they're going to be doing a team doubles refresh. That'll be happening on Tuesday next week. There's another 343 spotlight for software developer Simon Gordon. And again, we'll get through these at some point to actually talk about them. Rolling down to the community spotlight, that's where Receptor 17 screenshots are that you can go and check out. Again, definitely recommend looking at those because they're beautiful. He does a really good job with them. Play of the week, there's a Twitter video out there. They kind of do that every week. They just try to pull one out. And I think it's just someone going on the mounting rampage, like getting onto vehicles and hijacking them and destroying them. So it kind of is a playoff of the Halo 3 line, tank beats everything. So in this case, he's just boarding a whole bunch of vehicles and destroying them with grenades. I think he does that to two or three different vehicles. I'm watching it now. He did a tank.
Well, so far he's gotten a tank, a Wraith, and two Mantises inside of 45 seconds.
So Spartan beats everything.
Uh-huh.
And we also...
And then they got a nice little gif of one Grim Brother 1.
Yes. Which today is his birthday.
Happy birthday, Grim.
Yes. Happy birthday, Grim. Thank you for all you do for the community. Because he does a lot. That's the rundown of all the news. Took us 2 hours just to get through it, so we are kind of pooped. I've had a long week. I think Godzilla is ready to go to bed. So, close out the podcast. So, thanks everyone for tuning in to the show. We will be back on Tuesday next week, our regular day and time. I am going to Iceland afterwards on Thursday. hopefully I'll have the edit out. If not, hopefully I'll have internet enough to release it while I'm over there. We'll be back on Tuesday next week. You can check us out on our social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Discord, Twitch. If we have it, just go to podtagalert.com/whatever it is and it will redirect you. As far as Discord is concerned, that's kind of being our forums replacement. So I made an announcement a while ago that we're going to take down the forums. We're focusing on just using Discord as kind of our place to collaborate and talk with one another. So I encourage everyone to go over and check that out. Again, podtagalert.com/discord will take you there. Also, the next crate, which is the Atriox crate, you have until the 15th to order that crate. So go to podtagalert.com/loot crate. And once you're there, use the code podtackler to get $3 off your crate. Remember, you have until February 15th to get that done. I think they haven't really actually shown anything else off in the crate except for the Atriox figure.
Yeah, the only thing I've seen is the Atriox figure.
Make sure you get that done.
And if you want to see a really late unboxing, you can check my channel out. I've got the first three boxes up on my channel.
Yay!
I went on a video recording spree last Sunday.
I'm going to be doing a super, 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 super late unboxing. And once I get all six of them, I'm going to do a massive opening of all six.
But I finally have a home for my little grunt plushie. He lives in my coffee cup. Now he doesn't fall over anymore.
At least it was a coffee cup that wasn't broken.
Yes. All my stuff was good. My sword lit up and everything. Sorta.
Ah, sorta.
The switch is kind of flaky, but it doesn't matter. It's not like I'm going to be running around with it lit, with it turned on anyway. Matter of fact, I think I put it right back in the box.
We also have our Fraggin' Fridays hosted by Mr. Godzilla Todd himself. And that starts at 8:30 p.m. Friday. So make sure you are online to play some Halo 5 goodness. And probably once Halo 2 comes out, we may be switching back and forth with that. I'll leave that up to GT to decide on if we're going to toss that back and forth between Halo 5 and Halo Wars 2 or what's going on there. You want to share any input on that?
It kind of all depends on what the interest is. And it also kind of depends on the game. If it is like the original where we could get 3v3, then, we can do that. But if they follow their present suit, I don't know. It just kind of all depends on the way things go and, the people's interest in it.
So we'll be playing that one by ear. So stay tuned on when we get to the time Halo Wars 2 comes around on that. We'll be doing with that. But for the meantime, Halo 5 Guardians doing arena, customs, Warzone, whatever the lobby is up to. We're also part of a podcast network called thepodcast.com. That's thepodcast.com. And it has other podcasts like Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, Critscast, which is a Team Fortress 2 podcast, The Learning Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast, Podcast 76, which is an Overwatch podcast, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. Go over to thepodcast.com and check them out and let them know that we sent you. They're great to listen to if you're interested in those particular games or if you're looking for a podcast just to kind of fill the time on your drive to work or at work while you're working out or work. So just check them out. I think that's it for tonight. Thanks, everyone. We will be back next week, and I think it's time for bed. Keep on fragging Z's.
Night.
Good night.